This morning's message I want to keep short. I say that every week. But I'd like to make it a practical message from the Word of God of how to use the Bible. We've been in a series concerning how the Bible came about, what the Bible means to us, and looking at the Word of God and its intentions for us. We have seen the importance of the Word of God, the value of the Word of God, the authority of the Word of God, the promises of the Word of God, the protection of the Word of God, and the commands of the Word of God. Everybody take a deep breath. And now we look at how to use the Word of God. That is very important for us. Will you turn in your Bibles with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is God's instruction for Israel, but certainly applies to us as well. I'm reading verses 1 through 9. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach to you to observe in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you and your children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees, commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy a long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord God your fathers promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be in your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Would you look to the Lord with me for prayer? Heavenly Father, what a wonderful treasure we have in the Word of God. Thank you that you have given it to us that we might understand, that we might apply it to our hearts, that we might grow in you. Teach us, Lord, to use the Word of God in the way that you intended. I pray for your anointing upon this message, that the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, would be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been looking at the Word of God and how important it is. I trust that all of you have your own Bible. If you don't, I have three up here, and if you do the 365 promises and mark it in your Bibles, I'll still extend that to you. If you do it, you'll have to prove it to me, but you can get one of those Bibles. Seriously, I would love for everyone in this church to have their own Bible that is well marked and that you write in the margins and you remind yourselves of the things that God has spoken to you. We began with Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 that says, "The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." You see, God says the word of God is not a dead Bible. It's not just a historical book. It is a living book. It is alive. It is powerful. It is penetrating. And it is piercing. All of these things, God says, this word is given to us so that it might have an effect upon our lives. It is not a word to be set on a shelf somewhere and to gather dust all through the week and then pick up on Sunday morning and bring to church. It is a book that we ought to open every day of our lives to read the contents thereof. It is a miraculous book. It is a book through which God speaks to our hearts. It is the only word of God. It is the only rule for faith and practice. And so we need to depend on the Word of God. We need to use it rightly. Some people use it wrongly. They think, oh, well, I don't know what to do today, so I'm just going to open up the Bible and whatever God says, I'll do. They open it up and it says, "And Judas went out and hung himself." Oh, well, that didn't help me, so let's try again. And they flip it open again and says, "Go and do thou likewise." There's something dangerous about misusing the Word of God. The Word of God is not a magic eight ball that you could just open it up and flip to something and hope for the best. It is not a Ouija board. It is not a fortune cookie. And it is not a horoscope. It is the Word of the Heavenly Father spoken through the prophets and through the apostles and given to us that God would whisper His intent, His purposes to each one of us. We began by saying the Word of God is a mirror. James says it's a mirror. So while you're looking into the Word of God, it's reflecting back who you are. And it's looking at you as you're looking at it. So it's penetrating your heart and accomplishing God's purpose. I shared with you a quote from one of my favorite authors, Derek Prince. And he said this, "Here is a reminder of your attitude toward the Word of God. Your attitude toward God's Word is your attitude toward God Himself. You do not love God more than you love His Word. You do not obey God more than you obey His Word. You do not honor God more than you honor His Word. And you do not have more room for God in your life than you have room in your life for His Word." I want to bring you several thoughts this morning, principally two thoughts, and each of those have their own parts. The first one is there are seven biblical instructions for using the Word of God. Seven of them. You have them in your insert in the bulletin. You can read those, and I won't go into depth, but I wanted to mention those first off so that you don't get the idea I'm just pulling these things out of nowhere. I'm pulling them from the Word of God, seeking that I would do what God wants me to do with His Word. The first one is to read it. We are to read the Word of God. When God gave instructions to the kings of Israel, He said, "I want you to take a scroll and make a copy of it." That means the first book, five books of the Bible, they were to take and write it out by hand and have their own scroll. And then God says, it's to be with you every day, and you are to read from it so that you don't forget the commands of the Lord and so that you guide the people correctly. Deuteronomy 17, 18 to 20. If that was God's instruction for the kings of Israel, we as God's people are called kings and priests before our Heavenly Father. We too need to take that instruction, not necessarily copy the first five books of the Bible by hand, but not a bad idea either. But to have your own Bible and to keep it with you and to read from it every day. The second one is to meditate on it, to meditate on the Word of God. Psalm 1, verses 1 to 3. "Blessed is the one who does not walk in the steps of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on His law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, whose leaf does not wither, and whatever he does will prosper." Here's a promise given to us, that if we meditate on the Word of God, not just read it, because we get to read it without thinking. And God says, "I want you to think about what you read." And then the third one is memorize it. Everybody groan with me. It's hard to memorize, and the older you are, the harder it is. And so it's important for us, no matter what age we are, to keep practicing, keep sharpening the knife of our brain by memorization. And so we need to remember the Word of God. Well, some of us have the great blessing of being raised in Christian homes and raised in a Christian church where there was good Sunday school, and we had something like the Awana program, which emphasized memorizing the Word of God. That's important. But if you're older and did not have that, you're behind a step, so you've got to start memorizing the Word of God. I'm going to teach you two verses to memorize this morning. And you're not going to get out of here without memorizing these. Okay? The first one is John 11:35. John 11:35. Write it down. Jesus wept. Now, it doesn't say a lot, but it's two words. If you meditate on it and realize Jesus is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, there's a great truth. Another one is found in Luke, and it says, you got this one? Remember Lot's wife. Do you remember her? Do you remember that story in the Old Testament? She loved Sodom and Gomorrah so much that when God said, "Get out," she went out, and God said, "Don't look back. Don't look back." And she looked back, and she turned to a pillar of salt. Remember Lot's wife. Now you got two verses you've memorized. Hopefully you know John 3:16. That gives you three verses. But as you search through the Scriptures and you've got 365 promises, find something significant and memorize it. The fourth one is journal it. In Psalm 45:1, David says, "My heart is stirred by a noble theme. I recite my verses before the king. My tongue is the pen of a skillful writer." It's important for us to journal or write down the things God speaks to us. Thank God for the apostles who wrote down the things that God spoke to them so that we might have it for us. And you could be writing something in your Bible that one of your children or your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren will see someday and be reminded that you walked with God. My mother often wrote in her Bible. I've written in mine, and mine is all beat up and about time to retire this and get another one. But my mother's Bible was like that, and my niece begged my mother, can I have your Bible when you go to heaven? And so she trumped all of us. None of us got to ask for it because she asked for it, and Mom left it behind in her will, that niece gets my Bible. What a treasure to have a Bible that a saint of God had used and marked so preciously. Number five is to study it. 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best to present yourself to God. Then the word in King James is study. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a worker who needs not to be ashamed, who rightly and correctly handles the word of truth. I want to challenge you to study the Word of God. Get into the Word of God. Go beyond just looking at the surface. And you probably can't do it every day, but every week you could spend some time getting into the Word in a more in-depth study. The sixth one is to discuss it. Hebrews 10, 23 and 25. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promises faithful. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. And God is saying, gather together with other people and talk about the Word of God. Yes, we should gather together and go to church, but we also ought to have small groups in which we meet and we talk to each other about the Word of God. And finally, God says, share it. And we read that this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 8. God says, I want you to write these upon your hearts. I want to impress it to your children. I want to talk about it when you sit down at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up, and tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your door frames and on your houses and on your gates. These are important things for us to learn. Now I want to give you the practical part of this. I want to demonstrate how to use the Word of God. So, here we go. Let's try this. Somebody said, oh, you're going to sit down and preach today? Yeah, I'm going to sit down and preach today. I'm going to share with you how to use the Word of God every day. I think it's important that we have some practical examples of this. I had an example of my mother who did it every morning. About 5 o'clock in the morning, she would get up and she would sit in her rocking chair. And she'd open her Bible and she'd read and study and pray and be with the Lord. That left a tremendous impact on us. My sister tells the story. She says, I remember walking in late one night when Mom was in that rocking chair. And she was rocking away and praying out loud. And she was praying for me. And I was far from God. And my mom prayed me back to the Lord. These are significant things. So let me walk you through things that's in your bulletin as an insert. First thing that's not in your bulletin is number one thing you ought to do is Hebrews 1:2. Hebrews 1, Ibrew 1:2. So the first thing I do in the morning is I get my coffee. I got to have my coffee to wake up. I used to fall asleep on reading the Bible. I don't anymore because I have a good cup of coffee. It comes from the Bible. Hebrews 1, Ibrew 1:2. So you take your cup of coffee and you find a nice place to sit. I don't sit in a rocking chair, but I have my own study at the house and I have my futon and I sit on it. And I usually put my feet up on a nice recliner. Oh, and I get myself comfortable first because I'm with the Savior. I want to be with Jesus today. And so I've got my cup of coffee and I take my first sip and I say, thank you, Jesus, that I can be with you today. I'm going to sit here and wait on you. I'm going to fellowship with you. And in a moment, I'm going to open the Word of God. And so I sit there and just think for a moment. I'm in God's presence. There's nobody else around. Here I sit. And then I want to encourage you to take a good Bible, a good translation of the Bible that you might have around your house. Some of you are King James people. How many of you are King James people? You read the thous, ifs, and all that stuff. I found a humorous thing that King James, who actually commanded for the Bible to be translated into the English language, spoke with a lisp. That explains all of these and thous and ifs. That's just an aside. But get yourself a translation that's more modern if you like to read it. If you're a King James person and you grew up with that, you can read King James. But I like the New International Version, or this one happens to be the English Standard Version. Very plain, very easy to read. So get yourself a Bible that's easy for you to read and begin with that. So once you have that Bible and you sit in a comfortable chair, I'm sitting in a rocking chair. This is not like my comfortable chair, but you notice there is a nice pad on it. That does kind of make it easier to sit. So find a chair that you really like. And the Lord Jesus said, go into your closet and shut the door. So it's important that you find a place where you can be alone and not disturbed. And so do that. And then choose a time every day when you get together with God. I have chosen to do that the first thing every morning. Now, am I always faithful in that? No. Sometimes the urgencies of the hour push us into other things, but it's a discipline. I began when I was 16 years old. When I rededicated my life to the Lord, I made a covenant with God that every day I would be with Him. Every day I would open the Word of God and listen to His voice. So I would encourage you to make a covenant with God that you're going to get alone with God and you're going to be with Him at some point every day. I choose to do it in the morning hours. Not because I'm a morning person, but because that's when I'm fresh. Some of you will find that the best time for you to read the Bible is at night. I have found that I cannot read the Bible at night. You know why? Because I get all stirred up. I get all hyper. I get excited. And then I start studying this. I go from this word to another word. I get cross passages. I get my concordance out. And I start reading. Pretty soon it's 2 o'clock in the morning. And I can't do that. So I spend some time with the Lord in the morning. And then I would encourage you to begin with simple passages. Begin with the New Testament. The Gospels are easy to read. Begin with that. And then if you really like to go to the Old Testament, do Genesis and Exodus, because they're stories of creation and the people of Israel coming out of Egypt. Those are easy stories. But keep it simple. Start where you are and read the Word of God every day. Some people say they want to read several chapters. They want to read through the Bible in a year. How many of you are reading through the Bible in a year? Don't be ashamed if you're not, because I'm not doing it either. I do it some years, but not every year. Because sometimes we can be in such a hurry that we miss the Word of God. It was Spurgeon that said, I would rather spend an hour or a half hour thinking about 3 or 4 verses than to rush through several chapters and not remember what I read. And so I encourage you to do that. Start with the New Testament. Keep the Scriptures simple. And then before you actually read the Bible, pray. It's an amazing thought. Before you read the Bible, pray. Just bow your head and say, Lord, I'm going to open the Word right now. And I need to hear from You. Because that's really what you're doing. You're not just reading this as a textbook. You're reading it because God is speaking and He wants to speak to your heart. So you read that. You pray and then you read that. Then I would encourage you to read slowly. Some of you say, I don't have any problem with that. My finger gets in the way all the time. As I was considering, blah, 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 blah. Reading slowly keeps you from being in a hurry. Read it slowly and think about the words that are there. Think about it that God is speaking to you and He wants you to listen. Some of you know people that talk really fast. Is there anybody here that talks real fast? Do you ever hear those advertisements where on the end of an advertisement they give the disclaimer and the guy talks like hyperspeed? Don't read the Bible like that. You're not in a hurry. Slow down and read slowly. And then as you're reading, ask questions. I have given you the acronym PEPSI as a way to read the Bible. Ask yourself, P, is there a promise in this passage for me to claim? E, is there an example for me to follow? Another P, is there something to pray about? S, is there some sin I need to avoid? And I, is there an instruction to follow? If you follow that pattern, every passage you read, I don't care where you're reading it in the Bible, every passage you read, you're going to be able to milk out of that the truth of God's Word, and God's going to speak to you because you're looking for treasure in the Word of God. And that's valuable for you. I would encourage you to do these things so that you grow in Christ. Finally, I would encourage you to, what I've mentioned earlier, journal. I have all kinds of journals. I've done this for probably 40 years. I keep a journal. Sometimes they're just spiral notebooks. Sometimes somebody buys me a fancy one like this. But it's got lined pages, and every day I write the date and what time I got up. And then I open the Word of God, and whatever I read, I write it down. Now, sometimes it's just a paragraph. Sometimes it's a sentence. Sometimes it's 2 or 3 pages. But I'm reminding myself what God is speaking to me. And keep a journal. It really helps to do that, and it keeps you faithful. I'm meeting with a prayer partner, and we have for the last 12 years, I think it is. We meet every Wednesday morning, and he is a godly man. And I've been a journaler for most of my life, and I keep challenging him to journal. And he says, well, the Lord challenged me to journal. And so we get together. I said, how's your journal? And he says, the pages are still blank. So I ask him, what's the struggle here? And he says, well, I get up in the morning and I'm in a rush. And I rush out of the house. I don't even have time to read the word in the morning. And so I said, you know, it's a matter of discipline, of what you want to do. If you want to know God, you're going to spend time with him. So after 12 years, he's trying to sharpen his pen and write in his journal. And I'm not pushing him. I don't believe he needs to be a long writer, but I do believe he needs to be alone with God every day. For some of you, you're new in your faith, and it's difficult. This Bible is a big book. It's hard to get into all the passages, so you might want to use some helps. We have these on the back table. It's called Our Daily Bread. It's devotional guides for every day. And these come out every 3 months. You can pick them up at the back. They're free to take home. And it's a wonderful way. When I began spending time with God, I began with something simple like this. So every day, I had somebody that already thought it through, and the scripture's right there before me, and I can think about it, and they usually challenge you with a statement or a question that helps you to go through the day. I call this training wheels. Training wheels. Remember when you started to ride a bike? I remember, because I was about 5 years old. My sister got a bike, and she's 3 years older than me, and she got the girl's bike. You know, the boy's bike has a bar across, and the girl's bike has a dip. And so she could ride that bike, and all of us wanted to learn to ride on her bike. And so we'd get on her bike, and I remember it so well, because it was probably a very small bike, and I was a small guy. So I would get on her bike, and to put my foot up on the first pedal, I had to reach way up, and I'd sit in that little curve of the bike, and the handlebars are up here, and I would pedal. I would start down, first of all, I would start down the yard, because there's grass, and I could fall in the grass. And I'd get up, and I'd cycle, one, two, three, one, boom, and I'd fall. I'll tell you, we got so many skin knees and scrapes and cuts because we were learning to ride. But, you know, we never gave up. We were determined to ride. And then we tried the driveway. Ooh, it's dangerous in the driveway. I get up there, and I'm pedaling away. Pretty soon, I'm going this way. Yay, look at me. Crash. I fall down again. This time, I'm cut, and I'm bleeding. But I'm not going to stop. I'm going to get up again, and I'm going to keep riding until I could finally ride that bike. Now, I remained a short guy, so all the time I rode my sister's bike, I was the little guy pedaling down here, holding the handlebars up there. God knows that you're short. God knows that you're starting out. He's not asking you to be a preacher. He's not asking you to be a great scholar. But he's asking you to be his child and learn to walk with God by learning to walk with his word. And that's why God gives us the Bible, so that we can walk with him. We learn to lean on him. We can trust him. We can learn his promises. Be guided by his commands. As I said before, the commands of God are not there to save us. No command can save us. The commands keep us safe. God is warning us. Don't do this or you'll fall and you'll hurt yourself. And so look at God's commands as God guiding you and protecting you and making your way prosperous. I trust this is helpful for you, but nothing I can say is going to make a difference until you decide, I want to hear from God every day. Until you decide that I want to be a man or a woman of God. Until you decide I want to know him. I want God to speak to me. I want to be able to pray and have answers to prayer. Then you'll make a decision. I want to be with the Lord. And every morning or every evening, whatever it is for you, and it might be 5 minutes or 10 minutes, you begin that process of getting alone with God and ask God to teach you. Ask him to show you how to read the Bible and how to get more out of it. I want to encourage us as a church that we ought to have the Word of God posted around the sanctuary as well. I'm looking at that back wall. I know some of you don't want to change anything, but I want to change some things. There's three sections on that back wall. I want to see scriptures up there. I want to see the Ten Commandments up there written in a scroll. And I want to see some of the key verses of the Bible put up there. So every time people come in, they see the Word of God first. It's a great reminder
your kids will grow up, or your teenagers will grow up, or you will grow older remembering the Word of God that's constantly before us. Remember what Deuteronomy chapter 6 said. I want you to put it on your house. I want you to put it on your walls. I want you to put it before you. I want you to even put it on your hands. Now, I don't suggest that anybody get a tattoo of Scripture, but if Frank were here, your brother Frank has tattoos of Scripture on his arm. Enough said. If you come in with a tattoo, it's not my fault. But God says, I want you to have that Word so impregnated into your life that's a part of you. That the Word of God is living and it's powerful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, these are simple words and simple truths. Teach us, Lord, to love Your Word even as we love You. Teach us, Lord, that when we neglect the Word, we neglect You. Teach us, Lord, that when we're not in the Word, we're not taking that spiritual bath that we need every day. So, Lord, be our instructor. I pray for those that already have disciplines, that You would firm up those disciplines, that You would give them a depth in their spiritual life, a knowledge that comes from Your Word. I pray for those that are struggling to memorize even John 3:16. I pray that You'd help them to do that. I pray for others that are trying to memorize longer passages, that You would give them minds that can absorb and retain those truths. I pray for those that are going to start out with a discipline of every day being alone with God, every day opening the Word of God. I pray that You would bless them as they do that, encourage them as they do that, that they might walk with You and talk with You and grow in Christ. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
We've been singing that closing song, Learning to Lean, Learning to Lean, Learning to Lean on Jesus. Finding more power than I ever dreamed, I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Would you stand with us? We're going to get the chord first, and then it's up to us to carry it from there.
Learning to lean, learning to lean, I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Finding more power than I ever dreamed, I'm learning to lean on Jesus.
Receive the benediction. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with every good thing, doing His will. And may He work in us that which is pleasing to Him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless you on this holiday weekend. Walk with the King and be a blessing. You're dismissed.